I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, we're talking about balance, physical health, and mental health with Anne Catherine and Caroline Canine, who are 21-year-old twin sisters. I had so much fun talking with them. And after you listen to this conversation, you need to head to their podcast, Girls with Goals, because they interviewed me as well. So we did a little bit of a swap. So you're getting two in one day. They talked with me about all things confidence and standards. And again, it was just such a great conversation. Girls with Goals is about living your best life in every phase and following your wildest passions. By sharing their own experiences, struggles, goals, and learnings, they bring you into their lives while supporting you through yours. Again, I had so much fun talking with them. They're very down to earth and just truly a breath of fresh air. I also really loved their perspectives around confidence, and I think you girls will too. So let's get into the interview. Welcome, Caroline and Anne Catherine. I'm so excited to have you girls on. Introduce yourself to the girls.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
I'm Anne Catherine. We are so excited to come on For the Girls and to talk to you guys about not only us, just chat with Victoria and talk about all things balance, healthy lifestyle, confidence, all the good stuff.
Yeah, we host the podcast Girls with Goals. We're twins. We're 21 twins. And so that has definitely made it super natural for us to have a podcast together because we're like always together and it keeps us kind of on the same schedule to record. But also I think, you know, we always have these conversations about health and wellness and life and just like, you know, the balance of life, different topics of life with each other. And so we decided after we were kind of each on our own individual social media journeys in the past that we wanted to do the podcast and have something that was more long form conversational and kind of bring those deeper, bigger conversations that we were always finding ourselves having to the public. So Girls with Goals has been around for about 2 years now. You know, it's just been a fun ride since then, building it, building the community around it and kind of defining like what our messaging is and what it is that we want to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, everyone who listens to podcasts or Victoria, of course, knows that podcasts are so special because you get to actually go deep into a topic and you have the space to kind of talk about multiple different sides of things rather than on social media or if you're trying to condense something into even an email or something way more short form. You have to really pick and choose one side of something. And I don't think that's the case. I mean, with everything we talk about all the nuances. We go deep and talk about all of our perspectives, experience. So I just love having the space of a podcast to go into everything. But we talk about healthy lifestyle. It started more like health and fitness. And as we've grown and evolved in our own personal lives, it's expanded to just lifestyle, of course, with notes of healthy living, healthy mindset, like confidence is huge for us and just a driven. I mean, it's called Girls with Goals. So the basis is being driven, having your shit going on. And our audience is the same and we love talking with everyone about it. So it's been great to have the show so far.
I love that. I also think, I'm looking at you girls, but I think you might have the same exact voice as well. Like you look a little bit alike, but I think you sound the same. Like totally.
I think we sound pretty similar. So I wonder when people are listening to us. I mean, I bet consistent listeners are definitely good at deciphering it, but we try to like every once in a while, we're like, wait, new people might not be able to figure this out. So we try to kind of reintroduce ourselves every once in a while for new people to be like, it's two different voices.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't look alike. Like most people, we tell them we're twins. And sometimes we look so similar and people are like, will come up to us and be like, are you twins? But that's honestly a little bit rare. People will tell them we're twins. They're like, oh my God, I wouldn't even, I thought you guys were just good friends. Like that's, so we don't look totally alike. Obviously like some angles, some lightings, we can get a picture where we look alike, but yeah, our voices, I guess it's hard to decipher when it's just one or the other.
Yeah. I was thinking that as you guys were like flip-flopping back and forth, because like girls who are listening, like that was both of them going back and speaking. I was thinking like you keep like flip-flopping back and forth and the voice doesn't change. I'm like, I guarantee someone listening would think it's the same person speaking.
That's so funny.
So speaking of being twins, obviously, I feel like, okay, twin telepathy, I think that's like a real thing, right? Like you guys like,
an extent, maybe. I think we can, I mean, if you spend enough time with your friends, you can kind of pick up on different like cues and mannerisms. I think that might be what it is. I mean, okay. We've been together our whole lives. We have some weird things. Like one time we were 9 or something like that. We were snowboarding. I was at the top of the mountain and she was down and like ended up breaking her arm on the way down. And I was like, oh, I don't know if maybe I made this up when I was 9, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But I was like, oh, I felt something weird in my arm. Or I don't know. Just like any intuition with family or friends, I think that's what it is. We can like talk to each other.
I mean, I think for the most part, it's less genetic and more so like we have to know each other better than anybody else, because there's nobody else that you are like both friends and family with, and we run a business together. Like, and I think it's probably similar for any twins who are close. It's like the sharing of friends and of family, like nothing else can make two people more intertwined.
Yeah, no, I get that. First of all, like not you romanticizing her breaking her arm. We love making that moment about you. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
how can I make this about me?
Truly. So that's funny. But really what made me think about that question was because like you said, you girls decided to like create the podcast and do that. But I'm curious how it really came to be. Was there like a twin sense of like you both thinking you want to do this, or did one come up with it? Like, how did it really like start?
Yeah. So we both from the beginning, so it's just the two of us. We don't have any other siblings. We would always be taking videos and like making little iMovies when we were like 6, you know, from the beginning. And whenever we would go on family vacations or like family trips or like family dinners, even like it's literally just the two of us and our parents. We got creative.
We would be so creative.
And we would like make these little videos or like content create to whatever extent you can at like 10 years old. And we're super interested in that creative outlet. We loved, like, even though they were stupid videos, like loved making those. And it kind of evolved into, we grew up internationally. So we grew up,
we're from New Hampshire, but we lived in Hong Kong for 4 years growing up. So we grew up traveling a lot. And like that's a whole different part of our story as well. But in terms of the creative outlet, like, you know, we were in cool places. We were making little travel vlogs. And I think then we moved back to the US to New Hampshire for high school. And I think like our senior year of high school or something, when COVID happened and we were just at home, we were like, we're going to make a YouTube channel. We're going to take this seriously. And the YouTube channel didn't go well. We got no traction over there, but it like taught us how to work together and that we could be creative together. And then we each started building presences on Instagram that actually started working a bit more for us. And so I think it was about a year down the line of that where we were like, okay, this started together. We're really happy that we can have our individual identities on social media. But I do think like when it comes to, you know, being able to have conversations with each other rather than just being one person, and we can kind of challenge each other and bounce off of each other, we really wanted to do something where we could bring that back together, because we think there's strength in us in the relationship that we have and being able to create content from that perspective, as well as having our own individual channels.
So it wasn't necessarily like someone saying, oh, let's do this. do you like this idea? It's kind of, we've always been creative or wanted to create something or be in this space. And then we took individual routes to building social medias, and then we wanted something together because we valued our individuality on social media, and we wanted something that we could put effort into and build together apart from that. And so a podcast, just, it was an obvious route. It was an obvious decision. We just took it and ran with it, and we've been doing it ever since.
That's amazing. Do you ever like disagree when you're talking about something?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, I love that you, I'm like, I don't know why I'm acting like this is the first time I've ever encountered twins, but I love that you guys so like funny. Also just said absolutely.
No, we definitely do. And I mean, it's challenged our relationship a little bit as well too, because it's like now where we share friends and we share family, and we also have to be on the same page on, you know, what the content that we want to share and the ways of working that we have. And so there are definitely times where we each might want to take a topic in a different direction, and we, you know, but I think we've gotten pretty good at bringing it back together and kind of setting the stage beforehand of like, okay, this is the topic. What are your opinions on it and what you plan to share, and like, are we on the same page there, so that we don't get into an episode and are like, wait, that is not what I was thinking, you know,
which has happened before. It's happened before. And I think having varying opinions, like our little question and answer segment is called the double take, because it's interesting to have two different opinions on something when people, especially when people are writing in their own experiences, their own questions. But for the macro, like, what is this episode going to be about? Sometimes we start talking and we each take it in two different directions, and then we're like, hold up, that's not what I wanted to talk about. And it's taken a while. It's been a bit of a learning curve to figure out how to navigate that and how to make it beneficial, not only for us and take away the headaches of us like fighting about episode topics or like episode content, but also for listeners, to make it a seamless and actually beneficial episode content wise.
Wow, that's amazing. Wait, do you know The Toast? It's a podcast. I don't know if you know.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't think I've listened.
Okay. It's just they're sisters, and that, what you just said reminded me. So they don't talk about like personal stuff. It's like a pop culture type of podcast, but they like bicker, and sometimes like I never noticed the cut, but sometimes like they'll do a cut, and then Claudia will be like, okay, I just had to cut out that part because we were literally arguing about like what we were saying. So it's like so funny because they bicker throughout it. And I guess sometimes it like goes a little bit too far, and then they just they cut it out.
So we've had our fair share of cuts, but
yeah, that's funny. All right. So let's get into everything. Cause like Absolutely. You said, you're all about healthy living, balance, confidence, all types of goals, girls with goals. So something that I talk about often on For the Girls is balance. I think that, you know, there's so much to life that, you know, well, I don't want to start answering my own questions, but there's just so much to life that you have to be okay with, like, not everything, you know, is going to be perfectly, even down to your diet. Not everything is going to be like perfectly healthy meals 100% of the time, right? Like there's balance. So that's just how life is. I personally think that it's really admirable that you girls are, you know, prioritizing balance on health and wellness and just your lifestyle in general at such a young age. Like you said, you're 21 and you've been doing this for 2 years. At 19, I don't know if I even knew anything about, you know, wellness or anything like that. So I want to know what that's like for you both. Like, how did you find, again, at this young age, a health and wellness routine of balance that works for you?
Yeah, I think it definitely starts with realizing that balance like is something that you need to find. I think that before anyone can prioritize balance, you likely have a period where you feel imbalanced, you feel like one thing's taken over. And I think that we both experienced that. I know we mentioned before, we grew up in Hong Kong a bit, so we're from New Hampshire. We moved when we were like 10 to 14 when we lived in Hong Kong. And I think that opened us up to like a totally different lifestyle than what we were used to in like our small town of New Hampshire. We were able to travel. We were at an international school, so we were seeing like all different lifestyles and all different cultures. And I think that's the first thing that kind of opened my eyes to like, oh, there are multiple ways to live, and everybody has a different background, and there's not just kind of one set life and one set lifestyle and one set path. So I think that first, that experience first kind of implanted the idea of like, you can kind of choose your own adventure a little bit in life. It's not all set in stone. And then we moved back to New Hampshire for high school. And I think then people talk a lot about culture shock when you move abroad. I think I was too young to really experience it then. I think I had more of the culture shock when I then came back. And I felt like the community that I was in, the culture that was kind of like in our high school and around, kind of made me feel like boxed in. And so I was then kind of struggling with, okay, I'm feeling like I just experienced this whole different lifestyle, but now I'm not really able to find it. I felt a little bit like not in control of my own life in that way. And so I think it was about like junior year, senior year of high school, where I really found fitness as an outlet to have something that like I felt like I was really in control in, when I was kind of a bit too young to like take control over my entire life at that point. Mm-hmm. And so that became huge for me. I was going to the gym all the time. I had always been like kind of on and off with sports. Like I'd always been an active kid, but finding this route of personal fitness and this like individual fitness journey was something new and something that I felt like I had, you know, sole control over. And then like, unfortunately, I think a lot of people experience when they first get into that individual fitness is it can become a bit of an obsession because there can be too much of a good thing. And so I think at 17 or so, I definitely took it too far and it went into a more disordered route where it became kind of like the only thing that I cared about, because I took something that first was kind of like a sense of independence and having control and like finding some freedom in my life to then being like, okay, this is everything. And so for me, that kind of pushed this other journey of like discovering that for me, balance means that no one aspect of my life can take over so much that it starts taking away from others. Because then I was like no longer being social. Then I no longer really cared about traveling like I used to. Like I was kind of losing my other passions because it was all like fitness and food. And so that kind of set off this new journey of like, okay, I don't want that to be all that my life is about. I want to remember like everything that I care about in life. And so that is kind of my long-winded story of realizing that balance was important to me in different ways. And so since then, it's kind of been a journey to find a balance at every point of my life of being able to include all of the things that I love and all of the things that I serve me in my life to the extent that not one takes over so much that I'm sacrificing others. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was like, that's a long spiel, but I'm like, it kind of like, it's not something that happens overnight deciding like, I need balance. I'm going to find a balance. Like usually I think you have these moments of like, oh, I need balance. Yeah. When I need to figure this out.
And with any change, you have to almost hit that discomfort before you can take effort and take steps to, you know, make comfortable change and get out of that discomfort. And I think that is where balance comes from. One, I think being in college and being so young, it's very different now, even in the last like 2 years, than it has ever been, because health and wellness is so promoted both socially, online, like in communities to a deeper extent than it ever has been. So I think that is huge. People always, whenever we have these conversations, everyone's like, how, when I was 21, I was not working out, I was not doing this. But I think the culture has shifted, and again, in the last like couple years even, that is the norm, which is great because people have a better baseline education. And maybe, I mean, we go to school in Boston, so we live in a city that could influence it. But I think people are just a little bit more motivated in like as a baseline to live a healthy lifestyle. And that has so much to do with this idea of balance and the idea of like ideal lifestyles that are promoted on social media. And I think that is a positive thing. We could talk forever about the negative things that come out of social media, but both Caroline and I learned fitness and we got into fitness and a lot of these health tips through social media. And even though for both of us, we took kind of extreme routes and moved away from this idea of balance, like that is still how we got into it. That is still how we were exposed to this realm of like personal fitness, personal wellness. And it's taken a personal journey in order to get to a point of like true balance. Mm-hmm. But I think regardless of what we're talking about, of course, we're talking about healthy lifestyle, but balance can become work-life balance. It can become like personal or social or family social, whatever it may be. There are so many different elements to balance that go way beyond healthy, the good and the bad parts. And I think knowing what you want to focus on in life is the first step to understanding balance. And so this may be not something that, oh, maybe fitness took an extreme role in your life and overpowered everything. Maybe it's just that you don't have the motivation to do a lot of things and you want to add these things into your life. Knowing what you want to include in all different facets. So maybe it's health and wellness. Maybe it's like family relationships. Maybe it's your personal relationship, work, lifestyle, like hobbies, whatever it may be. Those are all different facets that feed into this idea of balance. And it's often portrayed on social media. Of course, we've all seen the like reels and TikToks of someone working out and like drinking green juice and then going out. And like they have this aesthetic, healthy lifestyle during the day. Then they also go out and they party and they like go like have dinner with their friends and do that. And that's almost saying like the good and the bad. It's polarizing, which we would like to talk about. But balance is so much more than that. It's just multiple facets of your life. It's multiple areas. And so knowing what you want is the first step to reaching that idea of balance, because you can know to make space for everything that you want. And that's huge. It's about intentionally making the space for what you want to include in your life. Mm-hmm.
For somebody wanting to find more balance, I would say the first step is to get honest with yourself about what you really value. Like, if your values are feeling healthy, your family, maybe education or career, understanding what those buckets are of things that you value, and then placing, you know, what the activities are that go in that, you know, whether it's work or classes or family dinner once a week or four workouts a week, and kind of filling those buckets in a way that makes sense for you and your lifestyle, and making sure that you place something into each of your values.
I love that. I think that that's so smart. And it makes sense, because then you're able to say that you were doing it in a tangible way, like actually tracking it. Say that you were, you know, whether it be on your phone or on like an app or just like some way, shape or form of like actually paying attention to those things. Then you're able to see like what you didn't spend any time on this week, what you want to spend maybe more time on next week. There's even something that I do with my clients, the four quadrants, and it's like four boxes that you would like fill out of, I love it, I like it, I don't really like it, I don't enjoy it, and like I absolutely hate doing it. And it's basically like putting everything that you know that you do like on your daily basis into the four quadrants, and you would break them like when you look at them as like love it, like it, dislike it, hate it. What they're also actually meaning underlying that is I want to like start doing this, or I want to do more of this, or I want to do less of this, or I want to stop doing this altogether.
Yeah. And that's such a good exercise.
I love that.
It reminds me of like the buckets. Cause like, it's basically like all another way of doing your buckets per se of like actually paying attention and doing the mindful work of like, this is something I want to keep doing, or this is something I don't want to keep doing. This is something I want to make more time for. This is something I want to make less time for.
Because it is so easy to let something overpower your life, or to let something kind of fall by the wayside. If you're like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. It could still be super important to you, but it's just not easily fitting into your life. So it's going to take that little bit of extra effort to kind of schedule in or plan or make time for. And it's so easy to not do that. And then a couple months go by and you're like, oh, wow, I haven't put any energy into that. I haven't done this activity or spent time on this hobby, whatever it may be, when it's something you really want to do. So I think just having a little bit of intention behind what you're doing is going to go such a long way for balance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One more thing that we talk about is like a macro view of balance versus a micro view, because it's not realistic or possible for everything in your life to be perfect at the same time. Like, that's just never going to happen. And so a little bit of it is also following the natural flow of your life. Whereas, you know, fitness and traveling are two things that are hugely important to me, but traveling is not something that I can do every day, every week, every month of my life. And so when that is a part of my life, it usually takes more weight out of other things. But on a micro level, it's not there day to day, but from a macro level, it may be a few weeks out of the year, but when it's there, it takes precedent. And then maybe fitness is a little bit less during those times of travel. But then when travel's not there, fitness has more space to be more heavily in it, or mm-hmm. career or something like that. And maybe sometimes naturally you're feeling drawn to be way more social with friends, whereas other times you're feeling drawn to be, you know, way more independent and self-focused. And so I think there's the daily balance of just like making sure you make time for everything in your daily and weekly routine, but also just understanding that, you know, there's going to be balance throughout a year of your life where mm-hmm. some months are like the holidays are going to be way more family focused than another time. That doesn't mean that you need to like be like, oh my God, I need to fix this balance and strip this back. It also has to do with kind of going with that natural flow of life and just making sure that overall there's a bit of a balance too, mm-hmm. even if in certain phases things take over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're Girls with Goals, our audience, how we are, and I'm assuming your audience, because I know how you are as well. Like, mm-hmm. we like to do a lot, and I'm going to fill my days as best as I can. But I also know that I can't do everything to the absolute extreme every single day. And that is huge in understanding balance. We talk about it kind of, I always say like the ratio rule, because your life is, you break down all the different buckets, like we just talked about. It's going to be a ratio of maybe fitness is like taking up the ratio, and the rest are going to adjust to kind of fit to that. And that ratio of what is the most time consuming and effort consuming part of your life is going to change throughout months, years, whatever it may be. But understanding that they're all parts, and on the thinking about it on the macro level, they're all parts of your life. You're not going to be stressed about, oh my God, I didn't like see these people today. You can see them next week. And that's not like pushing something away. That's just understanding that in order to do everything to the extreme and to do everything that you want to do, you can't do everything every day. You just need to focus, intentionally put effort into it as you're doing it, and make time and space throughout your life to include all of these parts.
Yeah. So it's a bit of intention behind it. And then it's a bit of also, you know, just going with the natural flow of life and having a bit of trust in it as well. So yeah. Even the mindset around balance is a bit of a balance mm-hmm. itself. It's all complicated in a way, but I think it should feel a bit more natural than, you know, we make it out to be, even just by this conversation. Like, you don't have to be intricately marking every single thing that you do in your day, but it could be keeping a daily planner. It could be doing some journaling every once in a while with that intention setting, and then, you know, staying true to those things, but also following the natural flow of life.
Yeah. You know, I think it also has a lot to do with like giving yourself grace. How mm-hmm. you just said, like having trust in like your life, having trust in like yourself, having trust in your timeline, and giving yourself grace around that, because maybe one week things won't go according to plan, or, you know, there's things that happen like sickness, and life, you know, is unexpected. And sometimes things just happen that, you know, may even set you back like just by a couple days. And then people get anxious of like, now I'm behind yeah. schedule. Now I didn't get to do this. Now I didn't get to do that. But I think that's like quite literally the opposite of what balance is meant to be like it's meant to simplify absolutely. Things rather than complicate things. And yeah, so I would say that, yes, of course, maybe we are getting very in detail about it, but it's ultimately just to offer like the perspective of what it is on the grand scheme, and yeah. not to like overcomplicate. It's not to like make anyone feel like, wait, I'm not balancing correctly.
Yeah.
So I think that that's, you know, just important to, because some, I think a lot of people these days struggle altogether with, mm-hmm. you know, I actually posted a TikTok talking about this. What happened was a girl's video came up, and now I actually want to see, you know, hold on. I want to pull it up to see what it was, because it actually went very viral. My most viral video lately. I haven't okay. been going viral, but it got 1.2 million views.
Okay. So it's a good.
Stitch. It's a stitch. And the first girl is saying, the girl I stitch is saying, when someone asks you what you do for fun and you come to the realization that you simply don't have any fun. I stitched that with my own story time mm-hmm. from 2019. So that was what? 4 years ago. How old am I? I'm 28. Okay. So I was 24. Sometimes I think COVID messed me up and I think I'm still 25. So, okay. So I was 24 and I was in, you know, I was running my businesses and whatnot. And I had gotten acquainted with this older gentleman who was kind of like a business mentor to me. Like, not really. We only spoke on the phone a couple of times, but he just offered like, you know, different perspectives because he was in my industry for like 40 years. Right. And I'm 24. So he's like double my age of like even being in the business. So he had been asking me, he asked me a series of questions. I kind of forget what the other two questions were, but it was three questions. One of which he asked me if money like was no object, if money didn't matter, if you could do anything in the world for work, what would you do? Like remove money from the equation. Like you can do any job, what would you do? And so I answered by saying, I would do what I do currently. I love what I do. Like I make good money. I have fun. My job doesn't even feel like work, you know, like and I went on this whole like answer about how I would specifically do what I do now. No questions asked. And he said to me, so what I was actually asking you when I asked you that question was, what do you do for fun? Because when I asked you if money didn't matter, what would you do for work? You could have said anything and you named your actual job, which tells me you don't have any fun in your life. It tells me you don't like you didn't get creative and say, you know what? Like I love making fun recipes. I'd be a random recipe chef, or I love pottery. I would do pottery. Like, you know, like you didn't start to mention even things like swimming. You know, you didn't mention any sort of hobby of things like that, that you do unpaid. You mentioned specifically a job, which tells me you don't have fun in your life. So I said this in the video and I think it went viral because everybody can relate. Like no one has a life outside of work. That, or people were in the comments being like, you're a loser for not. I'm like, okay.
It happens.
But truthfully, after that conversation, like I changed my life. Like I just started to give myself more grace, have more fun. I mean, I mentioned pottery because that's actually a hobby I took up. I did like a pottery class for months every week. And guess what? I sucked at it. But the whole thing was like, I didn't set goals for it. Like the people that were in there were taking it really seriously. And like, they were coming after hours. And I'm like, I don't want to stress about fucking pottery. Like, I just want to make terrible things. Like, let it just be that.
I feel like everyone should be so bad at their hobbies. Like, I feel like you suck at your hobbies. That's a mindset I've tried to take on because I have a tendency to like, if I do something, I almost like want to identify with it and I want to be the best at it. I have so had to let that mindset go because I'm like, that's holding me back from just having fun with things and just even doing things because I'm like, if I don't have the capacity to do it 100%, I can't do it at all. That's not worth anything. Yeah. Like I can go do a little bit of everything and have fun with it and like not put pressure on myself. So that's a good question to ask. That's one that would probably trip me up too.
Yeah. I was like,
I feel like I have fun, but I think I take things a little too seriously.
When I was younger at that age, like when I started my business, I didn't like when I was younger before I was like doing business. Of course I had tons of fun, but then once I started like working online and whatnot, I was honestly so addicted to the hustle of like, why would I waste time having fun if like a few more minutes on my phone on social media could like help me build my brand? So that was that. Speaking of hobbies, I'm curious if you girls have hobbies that you personally like or that you recommend for other people, because I think a lot of girls want to have hobbies, but they don't even know what they like. How do you find out what you like or what's fun for you?
Yeah, I think one, the mindset that I was just talking about of like taking everything too seriously, get rid of it. You're not going to find something that
you like. Don't do what I do.
Don't do what I do. You're not going to find something that you like without trying different things and seeing what naturally clicks with you. We had an episode yesterday where we were talking about taking control of your own life. And a huge point that we mentioned in that is like finding hobbies or independent activities that feel like they're just your own and they're something that you can enjoy doing without anybody else and it feels like your own like kind of independent thing. And so I think big things that could be for a lot of people, that could be music, it could be art, it could be some sort of like fitness and wellness. You know, some people like yoga could be that thing, but it could be something like art. This summer like I'm awful at art. I've always said that I'm the least artistic person ever, but I've like painted outside a couple of times this summer because I was like, you know what? I think this would be fun and relaxing and different for me. And I think that it could like push me to try something different. So we've been doing that. We're on the ocean. So we've both surfed a little bit this summer, even though we're awful surfers. And I think just trying those new things, that even things that you've always told yourself you're bad at or are not the things that you do, is the first step to kind of finding what that thing is.
Yeah, I think independence is huge. I mean, we talk about this a lot just between the two of us, being a twin or like having super close friends, or some people have like tight knit friend groups that always, you like travel in a pack or you always do something together. I think independence is huge, just to reiterate the fact that like you are your own person. And so doing something, whether it be a hobby or like taking yourself to lunch or whatever it may be, doing something by yourself or something outside of your typical, you know, routine and friend group and circles is huge to reinstill the idea that like you are your own person. I think it helps a lot with confidence and just like personal security. But again, I think hobbies, you should be bad at them. Like they should not be, and I have a tendency to do this as well. If I start a hobby or start something new, I'm like, this has to be my new personality trait. It has to be the biggest thing in my life. Like it has to be who I am now. Like this is who I am now. And I feel like a lot of hobbies as well are creative, because we don't have a lot of space in our typical lives, like 9 to 5s, whatever type of job you hold. If you're not in a creative space, there is not a lot of organic space for creativity. And so putting extra effort into creative hobbies or physical hobbies, I think, are huge, because those two are hard to get just in your daily life. But this summer, I mean, I love an activity. At the end of the day, I'm such an activity person. I will say yes to any activity. And so we have done a couple paint nights. I can't paint. Like one of our good friends at home paints. I don't think she paints like officially, but she's just like really good at painting. And so we would like go over to her house, and we would, the whole, like her brothers got in on it. Like we're all painted. We're all so bad at painting. And she of course like did something good. We're like, I'm just having the time of my life out here. I also think hobbies shouldn't be your typical like day-to-day life. Like they should be external. They should be something that add variation and depth to your life. And so out of the norm for me, or like kind of off brand, I guess, is like, I love building things, and like I'm not good at it. I don't do like big things, but like anything, I love like holding a power tool or doing something. So we have like surfboards, and I was like, I hung up a surfboard like rack kind of in our garage, and so now it's like a surfboard wall. Or like we drive a Jeep, and so I love anything to do with like, I will take the doors off myself any day of the week, like switch the roof. My dad and I just put up a like hoist for the top, and I'm like in the garage with a stud finder, like having the time of my life. Like I'm wearing a Skims onesie holding a stud finder and like a power tool. I'm like, this is so niche, and I eat it up. Or so we live on the coast, and our dad has a boat, and I like will take any opportunity to like go clean the boat with him or do anything. Like I love that hands aspect on, of it.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I'm like not as much. I'm like, I feel like I am so hands-on, like go for it with every other aspect of my life, that I would maybe want a more calming hobby. So to ramble off a few more artistic ones, like pottery, like you, I do
so painting. Fun. Like, I want to find a pottery class now.
I know, painting, like something so therapeutic with that. I think just choosing something and like that feels therapeutic to you. Like it could be knitting. You could learn how to sew something and start like making cool clothes for yourself. And that actually would be fun. Like go thrift and then know how to sew and like upcycle things. Yeah. Like just, yeah, I think there's a lot of fun, creative things that you could try. And then if you want something more physical, this is random, but if you're in college, I know some friends who like randomly joined intramural leagues and then got really into, like frisbee and like just random sports with like no pressure, because they were just intramural leagues at school. So there's some fun things that you could try there.
We do
have
huge, our like friend group at school. So our school, people are in and out, like everyone studies abroad, everyone, we do co-ops, so we don't, every kind of other semester you're working a 9 to 5 rather than taking classes, and so people leave Boston, and so everyone's in and out. You don't necessarily have like the whole friend group around all the time. But next semester is everyone's like last semester. It's our fourth year of school. So everyone's gonna be back in Boston. And one of our friends was like, guys, we're joining intramurals, like, as a team. I don't care what sport we do.
We're just going to make a team and enter, and we're all going to learn a sport together and, like, play on a team. That sounds so fun.
And it's just going to be, like, so funny that it's so fun. But anything kind of out of the ordinary, away from your typical day-to-day, outside of your routine, I think the main goal with hobbies is just, like, challenge yourself, like, exert energy in different ways, add variation, add depth, strengthen your independence. And that all comes back to, like, your, so it may be silly, but, like, having stupid hobbies that you're bad at or can do alone just reiterate your self and, like, how you show up in the world.
It's almost like do something that maybe is even opposite to your everyday.
Exactly.
Because
I think it stretches you, and it can teach you to give yourself grace, like you're talking about, because you're choosing something you know you're not going to be good at. It kind of gives you that mental practice of, like, letting go of the boundaries you might have on yourself.
Yeah. I feel it's funny too, because, like, I think a lot of people have the mindset of, like, you have to make money doing the thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you do, say that you even are, like, a terrible dancer and go take, like, a dance class or something like that, like, your mindset will never go in that direction. And this is a perfect segue for my next question, because we talk a lot about wellness, obviously, and more so on the physical aspect, the fitness, the health aspect of it all. But something that is hand in hand with physical wellness is also mental wellness and mental health. And I think these things like hobbies can be either really good and helpful, you know, to your mental health, or it could be even detrimental if you start stressing about, like, perfectionism and things like that. So I think all of this stuff is connected between the physical health and the mental health. So I want you girls to talk about that a little bit more, because I think your age, like I said, you're, like, this young age where I think a lot of girls in your position are very, like, impressionable. Honestly, I think maybe it's just that social media is bringing it more to light. I feel like I hear more and more and more about people struggling with mental health. Mm-hmm. So to connect that all, like, how important has your mental health journey been, or just mm-hmm. the journey in general of, like, loving yourself, having that unapologetic confidence, like you girls mentioned, mm-hmm. confidence is very important to you. And even things like loving your body, again, at this age, like, such an important time. What is that experience like for you girls?
I think mental wellness is the most important thing, because no matter where you are physically, like, we live inside of our heads. That is what is running. It doesn't matter, like, what, I mean, obviously it matters what our external environments are and situations are, but at the end of the day, like, you can be in the best place on earth and have bad mental health, or you can be able to make the most of every situation and have a more positive mindset. And so I think the narrative that runs through your mind dictates everything. It's going to tell you how to feel about yourself. It's going to tell you what you're worth. It's going to guide your actions and your habits and what you allow yourself to do, because it's guiding what you believe you're able to do and you deserve to be able to do. And so you need to get that on your side, because that is going to be, like, the keystone of everything else happening. So I think that's why, you know, even though we talk a lot about health as it pertains to, like, fitness and nutrition, I think we're both even more passionate about mindset aspects of it and mental health aspects of it, because I think that that guides not only the fitness and nutrition side, but it guides how you're going to show up as a person and how you're able to move your life forward and how you feel about yourself, how you treat other people. Like, everything is rooted in mental health. And so I definitely think it's, like, the number one thing to focus on.
And with all the, like, with the gym, of course, there's a physical, like, you want to look and feel good and strong. And that's a huge and such a valid part of fitness. But just as big, if not bigger, is feeling like yourself, feeling motivated, feeling energized, feeling confident. And we can talk about confidence in depth, but confidence is separate from your physical appearance. It's separate from, like, how you look, how you exist, like, your specific actions. It's above that. It's like, we always talk about the recipe for confidence, mm-hmm. and the parts of that are, like, being proud of yourself, trusting yourself, being secure in yourself, which is huge. Being secure in yourself, I think, is the main idea behind, like, the mental and physical aspects of like healthy living, working out, all these things. And
the security with yourself kind of makes it so that your confidence and your self-belief, it's not contingent on how you're performing or what you look like. It means that those things can change and they can ebb and flow. And obviously you want to be doing your best, but you know, your positive perspective on yourself is not contingent on anything else.
And that's huge to build a foundation so that when you go, obviously everyone's mental health to different extents is going to go through phases. That's how life works. That's how like people work. And so having the confidence and security and trust in yourself is that you can make it through all of those times, that you can like be happy and excited and feed into the ups and like the neutrals and like know how to handle and get through and appreciate even the lows. And I think they all are so important, like every side of it. You're obviously not going to live your life on an absolute high. Like that would probably get uncomfortable, just as like living on a low point all the time gets uncomfortable. But we need that variation. We need to go through neutral and have the different aspects in order to like be comfortable in ourselves and like be appreciative and feel like we are living our lives.
I think self-love, it all comes down to your relationship with yourself. I think our world can move very fast and it's not necessarily natural in everybody's lives to spend time just with themselves or be reflective on yourself, because there's so many other things that we can fill those empty spaces with. We would rather turn on the TV and just have entertainment or be scrolling on our phones, which is like all things that we can do. But we should also make sure that we're taking some of our time to like, you know, look inward and be reflective with ourselves, because it's your relationship with yourself that I think guides everything. And so that could look like building a journaling habit where even if it's just once a week, you're making it the habit of kind of getting reflective about how am I feeling? Where do I want to go? What does this mean? Because even if you make the habit of writing that down once a week, that's going to, you know, put that in your mindset, or that's going to get that in your mind that, you know, that's a way of thinking. And then even if you're not journaling, you might be a little bit better about thinking that way and being a bit more mindful. I think it's trying to like slow down a little bit and practice mindfulness when you feel yourself getting a little bit anxious or getting a little bit overwhelmed. It's like that slow down. Okay, why am I feeling this? Or just kind of slowing down and like thinking about anything in life. I think we always kind of have a running narrative, and sometimes it can feel like your brain is like talking against you or it's this separate thing, but trying to really focus on like bringing that into alignment and, you know, being good with your mind and having that relationship, which I actually think the hobby thing can be a really great thing at building, because it can put you out of your comfort zone. It gives you time and space to just like think and be with yourself. And so I think, you know, if nothing else, even having a hobby is a great way to start building a more positive relationship with yourself.
I love that. I think that information is invaluable. Like, I think everyone needs to hear that at any age, you know, at any point. I know I've highlighted the youth, but like, I think everyone can still learn from that. It's really important. I mean, to highlight more specifically that security within yourself, I think what ultimately happens in someone's life, the more secure they are with themselves, the more willing that they are to fail, the more willing that they are to go through trial and error, because you're not going to beat yourself up over it if things don't work out. You're not going to get mad at yourself the second that things don't go according to plan, because you're just going to be able to like, all right, like fall, what is that saying? Like fall down 7 times, get up 8, something like that. You're going to be able to just keep going. There's actually like one saying that's like the difference between a winner and a failure is that a failure quit and a winner kept failing. Like winners are constantly failing. And by winner and failure, I don't mean something as specific as like winning a prize or having the most money. Yeah. I just simply mean people who keep going, people who succeed, and people who maybe don't see that same type of success because they quit too soon. You know, maybe a failure failed one time and quit after they failed. Whereas a winner is like, well, I failed 12 times. And so I got up 13 times and I kept going. Yeah. And I think, you know, that is a big part of that security with yourself. And just generally speaking, I also think that, you know, it is great to see how mental health has been becoming something very openly talked about the past like few years, like with, you know, social media and with TikTok and whatnot. And I think, like I think Anne Catherine said before, like you could go on and on about the negatives, of course, of social media. Mm-hmm. Like there is so much to it. But I also think, like, you know, if you have that security within yourself, you're not just going to look at what other people are doing and get yeah. insecure, whether they have this or they have that. You're going to be inspired. You're going to see a way to, you know, have like this outlet of a new positive way of like living and thinking and feeling. And so I think that security within yourself and that unapologetic mm-hmm. confidence, like we said, is like, it's truly everything. And I'm curious if you girls always, you know, like, were you girls on a mental health journey? Do you have like a before and after? Do you have a struggle? Or would you say that you just always kind of had this strong mindset and these beliefs?
I think some of it is just it, like a tiny bit of it is just intrinsic. I know we were talking about on the episode we did with you for Girls with Goals about, you know, you've always been a confident person. I think some of that is just built in you, like born in you, but no matter who you are, it's always going to be something that will be strengthened, will be tested, and it's never done growing stronger, done like changing or whatever it may be. So of course we've both had bouts of like struggles or testing our mindset, testing our mental health. And through that, you know, you're able to learn a lot more and strengthen it. And, you know, when you encounter something similar, the next time you're going to either know how to handle it or it's not going to bother you as much. And that's just life experience. Like, of course, as you grow, as you experience more things, you're going to be tested, you're going to be challenged, you're going to reach these like super low points and know how to handle it and know how to deal with it. Just the value of experiencing low points is huge. And you're going to come out of that and maybe your neutral is moved a little bit. I always like to think about like highs, lows, and neutral. I think neutral is huge. You have to live in it for phases of life just as much as you have to live in the highs and the lows. But as you experience and get better at the lows, like that neutral is going to be moved up so that when you are just like vibing, living your life, just existing as you do, you're going to have a better outlook on life. You're going to feel stronger. You're going to feel more confident, more secure in yourself. And you do that through going through those challenges and going through those like super low points, however long or however frequent they may be, I think are huge in strengthening. And like, it's always a journey. So of course, like everyone has had a journey to get to where they are in their mental health. It's individual, it's unique for everyone, but it's huge for everyone.
Mm-hmm. No matter how much confidence you can have intrinsically, like there's going to be something that you either struggle with or are challenged with or need to work on. Like if you're super confident, maybe you need to build a bit more self-compassion, or maybe you don't quite have the confidence and you need to work on that self-belief and the belief in yourself. And maybe it's even comes down to like, you know, productivity and not getting distracted. And I think there's so many mental things that you can dive into. So I don't think anyone's perfect. I think it's definitely a continuous journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's all, again, invaluable information. And I do have a little something else to wrap this up. So mm-hmm. I do a little segment at the end of my podcast episodes called Dear Victoria, where I have listeners send me their situations to get advice or insight or just, you know, to vent, whatever. And so I was looking through them and I have one that I think would be perfect for you two to answer instead. So I'm going to read that and yeah, get some advice from you girls. Dear Victoria, I loved your podcast episode so much where you talk about how you struggled with friend groups in college. I'm in that boat right now. But a lot of my issues has to do with my own insecurities and body image issues. All of the girls either have fillers and Botox or boob jobs and whatever else. I come from a small town and I don't have anything done and I never struggled with body image issues before, but now I just feel like I don't fit in and I'm considering starting to get these things done. Mm-hmm. Are they worth it? At this point, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to feel better about myself because I don't want to be miserable, but I don't want to do anything I would regret in the future. any advice is welcomed. Thank you.
My first initial thought with that is that it sounds like you have always had an intrinsic level of confidence, and these are not things that you have even thought about before being placed in this environment with this specific group of people. So before, you know, going down the path of making any of those changes, I would think about if you displaced yourself from this group and you put yourself in a different group of friends, if you put yourself maybe not back in your hometown, if that's not where you want to be, but if you put yourself around your family or around some different friends that you know you have, would you still be feeling this way? And that might give you a better sense of, is this something that I am naturally feeling, or is this being triggered so much by this current scenario that would be different in a different environment?
Yeah, I think that's, environment is huge. I mean, my first thought was, one, I would love to know what school you go to,
because everyone has this.
I mean, like maybe you Miami or something like that. We go to school in Boston. So this, if someone had Botox, like got a boob job, I wouldn't think twice about it. But it's also not the most common thing. It's not common.
It's not a norm.
It's not common. And then we grew up in New Hampshire. A lot of people we went to high school with go to UNH, and we have friends that go there now. And I mean, I've never like been up there, but I would assume that that is so abnormal. Like if someone pulled up with Botox or a boob job, it would be like the hot topic, like conversation. So I think environment is huge for that. And again, my first thought was, if you, college is 4 years, when you take yourself out of that environment, out of this friend group, if you change friend groups, whatever it may be, are you going to still want that? And I think the biggest thing about making changes, if it's a lifestyle change, if it's a job change, an environment change, especially if it's like a physical change, like Botox or boob job or something, like having work done, that is something that you are going to want to do for yourself, only because of yourself. If you are wanting to make these physical changes because of other people, whether it's to fit in or for other people's approval or just to like not feel uncomfortable in this environment, that's something that I promise you will regret. Whether you regret the actual change or you regret why you did it in the future, like that is not something that you want to be doing right now. If you are baseline confident, if you feel good and secure about yourself, if you like truly love yourself and how you present, how you are, and there's still something that you want to change, by all means, if you've sat with that, if you've wanted this change for a while, if you are confident and comfortable with yourself in every other aspect, including this aspect, but you just want to like make a change and make it a little bit better, by all means, like take the steps to do that, because you're doing that for you. You're already confident. It's not going to affect your like self-image, you know what I mean, in negative or extreme ways. But I think doing it for someone else, or if just to fit in, is gonna affect your self-image and how you present in a negative or extreme way, and that is not something that you want to be doing.
So my action plan for you would be, get yourself, even if maybe these friends are great, I don't know who they are, so I'm not saying you immediately have to leave these friends, but get yourself around some different groups of people that maybe it's not so polarizing if you feel so different than them and you haven't done this but they all have. Get yourself around some different people, and also work on your own inner dialogue and inner confidence and all of the different ways that we've talked about so far in this episode, and just sit with this. And then I think it'll give you a bit more clarity down the line of, it sounds like you're in a point right now where, I don't feel like desperate is necessarily the right word, because I don't want to make you feel like you're desperate, but that you said you're willing to do anything right now to make you feel like you fit in with this one group, and that they're kind of putting a damper on your confidence. So I would say get yourself a step away from that environment and kind of look inwards and decide if this is like something that you want to do for yourself, or if there are other ways to improve your confidence either alongside that or separate from.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that just came to my head too, thinking of this question, was like, you know, what you, Carolyn, originally said was, are these beliefs like original, or were they, you know, triggered and or influenced? And I want to take that even a step further and say, not only were they like triggered by you just visually seeing these people, But were they actually like trying, were they actually making you feel bad about yourself? Like, yeah. Not only was it just like the way you feel from when you see them, or did people make you feel less than? Like, do girls make you feel bad about yourself? Do they actually put your looks down?
Right.
Because that's a whole other conversation. Right? Yeah.
That's in that case, leave the environment.
Yeah, that's a whole other situation there. Like, if these people are actually verbally making you feel that way, then scratch everything we just said.
Yeah.
Like, don't even be friends with these people at all.
Yeah.
Just completely remove yourself from them. When she initially says, like, I've loved your episodes talking about friend group struggles. Like, I always really struggled with friend groups, especially in college. Like, in college, I, you know, had my share of like just really feeling like the odd man out and just really not feeling you know, like I belong.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I could not continue those friendships, nor did they even want to continue the friendship with me. So it's not even like we had a, you know, like, oh, we just split. Like, that was just it. We literally just like, I was just no longer in the group chat one day and I just like never spoke to them again. Like, we went from hanging out to just like not talking anymore, which was fine because we both knew that that friendship was over. And so I'm like big on, like, I'm on team, like, remove yourself from that environment if that is genuinely how that environment makes you feel, like if they're actually putting that on you. But ultimately, you know, if it's coming down to just your own self, then listen to the girls.
They can't. No, I absolutely agree. I didn't want to assume that they were like shitty friends all over, but I am absolutely with you that nobody should be making you legitimately feel that way.
Yeah.
Because even if they aren't saying it like verbatim or like telling you that you should be insecure about these things,
they're probably not supporting you.
It's maybe not an environment that you want to be around if someone is always like subconsciously putting you down or being around them makes you feel bad. That's no place where you should be.
Yeah. No, and you know what? You hit the nail on the head when you said maybe she's going to UMiami because I lived in Miami. So I could be the one to tell you that that's probably where she goes. You know what? When I was in college, a few girls did have boob jobs and I think nose jobs. And like, that was like, wow, where do you even get the money to do something?
Yeah.
Like,
or the new thing like, now is like everyone has lip filler.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't start doing anything until after college. The only thing I maintained was like my crazy nails. I had like my long acrylic set. Like, and I look back on those videos and I'm like, what was on my fingers? Like, that was like terrible. Yeah, I could definitely not afford like maintenance and things of that sort. So maybe I'm in a different generation. I don't know what's going on these days.
No, that is valid. I think honestly, like you said, like a very influential period when you're young. Yeah. And so any work being done, I think even if that's like the culture of where you are, I think that is not necessarily like the best thing to be in the environment of.
Yeah.
You want it on your own accord, like by all means, support you. But for other people, any change you make for other people is just not a change that you should be making.
Yeah. And again, like I really liked having, you know, you younger women on and like highlighting that age thing, because I just think, you know, I do have a lot of young listeners and I think that I talk about, you know, what I would do, but they could relate more to someone who's like in like that age, you know, situation. So, but again, to reiterate, like, I really think that the information you girls gave is timeless. And I think anyone and everyone can, whether it be relate and resonate or just learn from it. So I really appreciate you girls for being here. Thank you for sharing everything. So tell the girls where they can find you and where they can connect with you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. This was such a great conversation. I'm so excited that we were able to come here and also do a swap. So you guys can go listen to more Victoria over on our podcast because we were able to interview her as well. Our podcast is Girls with Goals. And you can find our personal pages on Instagram and TikTok. Mine is Caroline Kanine.
And Catherine Kanin, and the Girls with Goals TikTok or Instagram are both Girls with Goals Pod on both platforms. And really, really appreciate both of these conversations that we've had. Both have been so great. And I've selfishly enjoyed chatting with you for both. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And that's all we have for today on For the Girls, but there is so much more if you head over to Girls with Goals, because you'll get to listen to my interview there. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.